All right. So tonight's class is going to be a little bit different because it is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Chimamanda Goswami. And so we're going to speak about Chimamanda Goswami. We heard about Chimamanda Goswami in class this morning, but I'll fill in a few more details about Chimamanda Goswami. Very, very important person. One of the three most important persons who were the second generation disciplic descendants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very, very important. Also, before we begin, I just want to make the announcement, which I'll make at the end of the class too, that tonight is the last class for about 2 weeks that we're going to be giving at this time. I'm going to be giving more classes at different times because I will be in Europe, which is 6 hours later. So if I tried to do it at this time, then it would be 11 o'clock at night in Europe, and I am not that surrendered. I'm not a surrendered soul like that. And that would mean going to at least midnight, which I'm not going to do because I value sadhana. For those of you who don't know what sadhana is, it's basically practice. It means practice. So there's two types of practice: vaidhi practice and raganuga practice. Vaidhi practice, you practice according to rules and regulations. Even if you ain't inspired, you do it anyway. It's like I was talking to someone yesterday, and they said, "I'm not inspired to go to Mangalarti. I have to be inspired." And I said, "What will inspire you? A sweet ball? Or if someone gives you a electric shock, will that inspire you?" "No, I have to be inspired." And I said, "Well, your guru goes to Mangalarti. That's not so inspirational." "My guru goes to Mangalarti. He's a pure devotee, you know, pure devotees. Don't compare me to a pure devotee, you know. I'm just a conditioned soul. So I don't expect for me to be inspired. I have to be inspired. You know, when I see a plate of prasadam, I get super inspired. When I see, what else did I see? Anyway, whatever inspiration, perspiration. Actually, success in the material world is 95% perspiration and 5% inspiration. So we function on the intelligence platform. Intelligence means we know what to do, even if we don't feel like it. When that alarm clock rings in the morning, you say, "Hare Krishna," and you get up. Just like if someone is in the army, we were talking to some previous soldiers today. If someone is in the army and it's time for reveille. Reveille means when they blow the horn, da, 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 like that. And you say, "I'm not inspired to get up this morning." You will be doing push-ups for the rest of the day, buddy. So, of course, we don't do that to people. We don't make them do push-ups. But, you know, an intelligence platform means you know what is the right thing. You do the right thing. I mean, if everything's on the basis of inspiration, you know, sometimes I'm inspired to, sometimes, not me, but sometimes people may be inspired to take intoxication. Other times people may be inspired to go to the movies. Other times people may be inspired to overeat, whatever. You know, inspiration, you can get inspired for so many things. So, isn't it? Watch a Bollywood movie, I'm inspired. Not me, of course. So we function on the intelligence platform. Do the right thing to achieve our goal. That's inspiration. I want to achieve a goal. If you don't want to achieve a goal, be honest. Just say, "I don't really want to be Krishna conscious. I'm just here because, you know, I like the prasadam. I'm just here because I like my friends. They inspire me. I'm just here because," what's another reason? "Free room and board. I'm here because I get free prasadam every day." So anyway, just be honest. "I don't want to be Krishna conscious." Okay, I accept that. If you tell me I don't want to be Krishna conscious, fine. You have my blessings to do whatever you're going to do. I mean, it's not the best choice, but, you know, you have your choices. That's all. But if you want to be Krishna conscious, you control the mind and the senses with the intelligence. Buddhi yoga. The intelligence is the driver, the mind, the reins. The horses are the senses. The chariot is the body. Remember this one? And the soul is the passenger. So, imagine saying, well, my reins don't feel so good today. Pretty intelligent. Or my horses, you know. I think they need a vacation. So, anyway, so enough of that preaching for today. So we have to function on the intelligence platform, which is really important. So, I don't think I should delay. So, oh yes, I wanted to mention that tomorrow I will be going to Europe, which is 6 hours later. So I can't get up early and or stay up late and give this class, but we're going to be giving classes at other times. And if you're on my WhatsApp notification group, you will get notified just before I give classes at different times or give seminars at different times or have fun chanting Hare Krishna at a different time or go swimming at a different time. You'll be notified by it. And you could participate. Or you can go on YouTube and see what happened later. Like some people wonder what happened. And some people make it happen. So that's up to you. You know, sometimes we wonder what happened. They left me in the dust. Okay, so on that happy note, today is the appearance day, disappearance day, commemoration of the disappearance day of Shyamananda, one of the three great personalities, Shyamananda Goswami, Narottama Das Thakur, and Srinivasacharya, who are the second generation followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who started the Sankirtan preaching mission of taking the books of the Goswamis to Bengal and other places in India. So, without further ado, we're going to chant the prayers to the departed Vaishnavas. And I'm going to share the prayers with all of you so you can read along with me as I chant. I think I have it right here. And then we'll speak a little bit about Shyamananda, who's a very interesting personality. All right. Here we go. Jehani lo prema dana korana prachur. Jehani lo prema dana korana prachur. Heinu prabhu kota ge la achar yat takur. Heinu prabhu kota ge la achar yat takur. Kaha mora swarup rupa kaha sanatan. Kaha mora swarupa rupa kaha sanatan. Kaha dasa ragunatha patita pavan. Kaha dasa ragunatha patita pavan. Kaha mora bhakta juga kaha kaviraj. Kaha mora bhakta juga kaha kaviraj. Eka kale kota gela koranata raj. Eka kale kota gela Goranataraj. Pashene kutibo mata. Anale pashibo. Pashene kutibo mata. Anale pashibo. Go. Goranga gunera nidi. Kota gele pabo. Goranga gunera nidi. Kota gele pabo. Se sabat sangir sange, je koi lo bilas. Se sabat sangir sange, je koi lo bilas. Se sanga na paya kande, narutam o das. Se sanga. Nabayakane Narotamo Das Yeanilo Premadana Koruna Prachu Yeanilo Premadana Koruna Prachu Jaya Jaya Thakur, 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 Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidgacharya. Osto Tera Satashi Shimad, His Divine Grace. Abhaya Chananada Bhakti Vedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrindi Ki Jai, Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Param Se Kaho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shirvaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopikopanath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Mathuradam Ki Jai Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Shimani Lassi Devi Gijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Gijai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shi, Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Gijai, Gaur Premananda, Hari 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 Bol. Alrighty. So, Om Ganatim Randa Shaganan Jana Shalakaya Chakshun and Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So we offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chatanad Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorancia and opened my eyes with transcendental knowledge. So tonight we're going to speak about Shyamananda, and it's a very interesting story. So, let's start. Actually, the word Shyamananda means the bliss of Radha. So Krishna, of course, is the bliss of Radha. He's the one who gives Radha bliss. So, here's the story. Once upon a time, there was a little boy who was born, and this little boy had previous brothers and sisters who died before him. And so when he was born, his parents gave him the name Dukhi. Dukhi means like unhappy because his brothers and sisters had died before him. But he was born with all the signs of a Mahapurush. What's a Mahapurush? Mahapurush means one with all the signs of a great personality, like lotus eyes. Everybody understands lotus eyes? and hands that go down to the knees and all the different proportions of the body that show that someone is a great personality. So as he grew up, his father asked him, you know, you're going to accept a spiritual master one day. So who's going to be your spiritual master? And the little boy, he said, my spiritual master will be Hridaya Chaitanya. So who is this Hridaya Chaitanya? This Hridaya Chaitanya was a disciple of Gauri Das Pandit. And originally, Hridaya Chaitanya had the name Hridaya Ananda. But his name was changed by his guru. Why? Because once upon a time, his guru got angry with him. That is, Gauri Das Pandit got angry with Hridaya Chaitanya, who was Hridaya Ananda at that particular point. Why did he get angry? Because Hridaya Chaitanya had arranged for a Gaur Purnima festival without his guru's permission, because his guru was away. Okay. And so, and his guru, Gauri Das Pandit, had these amazing Gornatai deities that Gornatai actually posed for. They actually sat there and posed because he wouldn't let Gornatai go until he could have deities made of Gornatai. So, anyway, so Hridaya Chaitanya arranged for the festival. Guru got angry, really angry, and sent the disciple away. Get out of here, he said to his disciple, Hridayananda. Hridayananda left, but the deities followed him. And so Gauri Das Pandit, the guru, thought, I'm going to chastise Lord Chaitanya as well as my disciples. So he went with a stick, and he was getting ready to chastise Lord Chaitanya, the deities, because they had left with his disciple. And when the deities saw Gauri Das Pandit with a stick, they got so frightened they jumped into the heart of Gauri Das Pandit's disciple, Hridayananda. So, therefore, Gauri Das Pandit changed the name of his disciple to Hridaya Chaitanya, he who has Chaitanya in the heart. Very interesting story. So he took initiation from Hridaya Chaitanya. Hridaya Chaitanya changed his name to Duki Krishnadas. You know, gave the name Krishnadas, added Krishnadas to it. And so he served his guru, very, very dedicated to his guru. His guru thought, you should go to Vrindavan to study with Srila Jiva Goswami. And so he went to Vrindavan, and so he was studying with Jiva Goswami and also studying with Narottama Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya, these two other great personalities, and I think you've all heard about them, so you're studying with them. But also, it's not just studying. You know, we're not supposed to be eggheads or bookworms. So he was given a service to do, you know, a humble service, because a disciple, in order to, let us say, imbibe spiritual understanding and knowledge, has to be humble. That's important. Without humility, that there's no advancement. Without understanding that one's a servant and ready to do anything the guru asks. So he was given this place called the Kanaka Kunj to cleanse. It's actually Kanaka Kunj. This morning they gave a different name for the Kunj, but it was actually Kanaka Kunj. And every day he was cleansing it, but he was in so much ecstasy with the service attitude. Remember this, service attitude. If you have a service attitude, you will be in ecstasy everything you do for Krishna. If you are proud, you will not be in ecstasy when you're asked to go to Mangalarti or you're not asked to do some humble service like mowing the grass, cleaning the toilets. Nowadays, many devotees are too good to do anything. They're, oh, we'll just hire someone. Today, this is the time of hiring people to do things for Krishna. Because devotees, we're just meant for chanting. Just meant for chanting. Just like my godbrother, one time was saying to Prabhupada, when Prabhupada would leave the temple in Vrindavan, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, do something practical, clean in the temple. So, Mandira Marjanado. So anyway, so he had cleaned in the Kanaka Kunj, and he was feeling great ecstasy. And one day, he discovered something under one of the trees, or near one of the trees. It was a nupara, which is like an ankle bell, anklet, and had it been left by Radharani when she was dancing there with Krishna. And it was glowing. It was golden. And so what he did, he first put it around his neck, then he decided, let me bury it. So he buried it in the ground so that nobody could discover it. And as he was burying it, the shovel or the spade that he was using turned gold. And so he understood this is something from the spiritual world. It's not something ordinary. Okay. Whew. So, meantime, Radharani is missing her nupara. So who does she send to get the nupara? But Lalita Devi. And Lalita Devi comes up to Shyamananda. Of course, Shyamananda is not known as Shyamananda then. He's known as Duki Krishna Das, she says. She's in disguise, of course. Obviously, she's in disguise. And she says, my friend lost something here. And I'm just a village girl. And, you know, and he says, what's your name? She said, my name is Radhadasi, which is true. She's a Radhadasi. So he said, you know, I know who you are because I know who that anklet, that nupara belongs to. So Lalita confesses and she says, okay, I'll return it to me and you should ask for a boon. That means blessing or whatever you like. You know, most of us, we would ask for something material like a new car or something like that. Hopefully, I wouldn't ask for that if I saw Lalita. So she asks, and so he says, actually, the boon I want is to see you in your actual form. And she said, that's not possible. And he said, yes, it is. By your mercy, it's possible. So in a secluded place, she manifested herself to him, and she put her feet on his head. And then he said, I will have a second boon, second request. I want to be your servant and serve Radha and Krishna forever and ever and ever. And Lalita Devi says, all right, we'll fulfill this particular request. And I'm going to give you a sacred mantra. So Lalita Devi initiated him. A different mantra than his guru gave him, but she initiated him in a very, very special mantra. And she said, anytime you want to see Krishna's pastimes and enter into the pastimes, you just chant this mantra. Do you all want to know that mantra? No. Okay, I won't tell you, since nobody wants to know it. I'm sorry, nobody volunteered. Nobody volunteered. You're all on mute. I can see you waving, but, you know, that means you're sure ecstatic to hear the story. Anyway, so I'm not going to give it to you because you're not qualified. So anyway, so Lalita gave him the mantra, and then he returned the anklet and the spade, as I mentioned before. The spade means the shovel. The spade was golden. And there's different versions of the story. Sometimes we're talking about a hagiography. Okay, let's talk about what a hagiography is. Hagiography means the biographies of saints. Sometimes you'll find a little fluffing out of the different stories. Okay, but this is actually the story that's most told by the Acharyas and by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So at this particular point, the spade was dug up and Lalita touched Shyamananda's head and gave him with this, not the spade, was they used the spade to dig up the anklet. And so the impression of the anklet was actually the tilak. Now sometimes people say it's Radharani's foot. Well, Radharani's foot doesn't look like that. It looks like an anklet and there's a dot in the middle. And she said, don't tell anybody, here's a new name for you, Shyamananda, which means the bliss of Srimati Radharani. So, whew, when he got that name, he was crying and fainting. You can imagine. You can imagine you're given a special name by Lalita Devi. I can't imagine. So anyway, so he was crying, rolling on the ground. She said, can't tell anybody. You can tell Jiva Goswami, but it has to be a secret. Do not tell anyone. Now that's really difficult, let's say in India, where everybody likes to talk behind everyone else's back. So if all of a sudden you see a devotee come to the temple and he has different tilak on, you know, then word gets out really quickly. It was telegraph, telephone, tele-devotee. Or as we used to say in ISKCON, the ISKCON grapevine. There's actually a song, tell it to the grapevine. Anyway, so even before there was internet or something like that, we used to have really quick communication between the different temples. I mean, somehow or other, it was instantaneous. So he told Jiva Goswami, and also his complexion changed. He had a golden complexion, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, you actually see people in India sometimes with golden complexion. I'm not talking about, let's see if I can find a sample here. Gold. I don't have any gold here. Yeah. All right. Here's gold. My glasses. You can't really see. Anyway. So, not like shiny gold. It's like Prabhupada had a golden complexion. You know, you talk about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not that you could look at him and see your face and see your reflection when you were looking at Lord Chaitanya. It was a beautiful... I remember the first time I met Prabhupada, it was the evening. Well, this was after a whole day of preaching with Prabhupada. It was the evening in Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada was in his gamsha, sitting on a bed, and you could see Prabhupada's whole body, except for, you know, the midriff, and Prabhupada's body was glowing gold. It was like molten gold, okay, like molten gold, very beautiful golden complexion. It was very auspicious. And Jiva Goswami first asked him, you know, where did you get this tilak and complexion? And Shyamananda said, it is all by your mercy. Because Jiva Goswami was his Siksha Guru. It's all by your mercy, Srila Jiva Goswami. So then he told Jiva Goswami the story. Jiva Goswami asked to see the spade, you know, the shovel. And he showed it to him. And Shyamananda just related everything. Jiva Goswami, at that point, feeling so humble, even though he had that personal association with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, I have become your property. He said, you should always think of this as the mercy of Hridaya Chaitanya. Don't think, you know, I'm better than my guru. My guru, you know. Because Hridaya Chaitanya and his guru were actually, Gauridas Pandit, were actually coward boys. So try to understand, this is actually part of the story, that you have a guru and the grand guru who are coward boys, and then you have this disciple, grand disciple, who's actually situated in Madhurya Ras. As we mentioned yesterday, that many devotees in Madhurya Ras, perhaps the majority, don't actually personally, you know, embrace Krishna or kiss Krishna or anything like that. They're assisting those who do. Like the Manjari Gopis, the Goswamis of Vrindavan are generally Manjari Gopis. So, whoops. Sorry about that. I had to lower someone's hand. So the Goswamis of Vrindavan are generally Manjari Gopis. They're very, very humble and serve Krishna in that particular way. But the Brajabasis didn't really understand what was happening. As I mentioned before, there's so much rumor going around, everybody talking about everybody else. And so the Brajabasis, they were saying, this is Jiva Goswami reinitiating this disciple of Hridaya Chaitanya. and they conveyed the news to Hridaya Chaitanya. Your disciple, because Hridaya Chaitanya was all the way in Bengal, and of course this pastime occurred in Vrindavan. And so Hridaya Chaitanya, instead of going himself, sent devotees to Braj to find out, what is the story? Why is my disciple calling himself Shyamananda wearing this weird tilak right now? You know, he just couldn't understand it. So Shyamananda, well, actually it was Jiva Goswami, explained that the tilak and name were given by Hridaya Chaitanya to Shyamananda in a dream. In other words, he got it from his guru in a dream. Shyamananda said, yes, that's right. By my guru's mercy, I got this tilak, I got this new name. And the devotees went back to Bengal. And Hridaya Chaitanya said, what? There wasn't any dream. You can imagine, let's say, I can imagine if my disciple said, in a dream, Guru Maharaj, you told me that my new name was Radha Shamasundar Gopi Bhava Prema Bhakti Devi Dasi. That happened in a dream. Gurudev, I saw you. You were in your glasses, you were on your computer in the dream, you were driving your car, you know. And it was you, Gurudev, and I would say, that's nonsense. We don't believe in dreams unless it's corroborated by the Vaishnavas, just like when Prabhupada had his dream of what? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur telling him to take sannyas. Now that's corroborated by all the previous instructions and by Prabhupada's godbrothers, Keshava Maharaj, corroborating that particular instruction. So we can understand that that dream is taken seriously. Otherwise, we can have so many dreams. You know, I've had disciples come to me and say, Guru Maharaj, in the dream, you said this, and I said, that's nonsense, I would never say that. Anyway. And it's very easy to find out what I want. You just send me an email message. In those days, they didn't have email, WhatsApp, Messenger, phone, or anything like that. So, you know, it's a little bit different nowadays. You know, we don't need dreams nowadays. Just go on the internet. So, anyway, getting on with the story. So Hridaya Chaitanya got very upset, said dreams should not be taken seriously. Then he decided to go to Braj. And he inquired from Shyamananda, who is your guru? Shyamananda said, you are. And the name and tilak is by your mercy, Guru Maharaj. Phew. And Hridaya Chaitanya got really angry and said, we're going to wipe it off. And if it remains, then we can understand it is real. So Shyamananda at that point chanted this mantra. He was given by Lalita, the Radha mantra, which I'm not going to tell you. And he entered into his spiritual body and came to a temple where Radharani was, and he was crying. And spiritual body means he was a Manjari gopi, young, prepubescent girl. And he was crying outside of this temple. And his spiritual name is Kanaka Manjari. Manjari means young girl, prepubescent. So that was his spiritual name. That's his eternal name. That's his eternal identity. So he was crying, and he was saying, basically, my Swami has beaten me. Because Swami can mean two different things, like husband, or also it can mean master. Traditionally, actually, it's interesting. Traditionally, in Indian culture, the husband would be called Swami. And the wife would be called Pavariya. Priya means dear, Swami means master, but nowadays it's not practical, and it's not politically correct either. So don't try it at home. So he said, my Swami has beaten me. Lalita was inside the temple making betel for Radha, and Radha gave the message to Lalita, bring Kanaka Manjari inside. So Radha was eating betel, Lalita was preparing, Rupa Mundry, who was Rupa Goswami, was massaging the legs. This is very intimate. I don't know if we'd be talking about all these things. And the other devotee, Champaka Lata, was fanning Radharani. And so he explains the story, or she explains the story at this particular point. And Radha gives a message to Subal. Now, try to hear what I'm saying. Subal is the same as Gauridas Pandit, who is the spiritual master of Hriday Chaitanya. Got it? So she gives the message to Subal. Subal paints Shyamananda on the chest, on Shyamananda's chest, as well as the tilak on the forehead. And Radha says, all right, you go back and see what happens with your guru. That's an amazing story. So he goes back. Of course, she also gives him the instruction. Very important instruction, that later on, when everything works out, you should tour Orissa, you should preach in Orissa with Rasika Murari. Rasika Murari, of course, was later on Rasika Nanda. Murari is actually his most prominent disciple. So, anyway, so he's in this trance, and he comes out of the trance, and everyone's crying, bewildered. Jiva understands what's happening the whole time. You know, Jiva's really into the whole thing. So, then you have Shyamananda explaining that, you know, I have Subal's mercy. Subal is your guru, Guru Maharaj. That's interesting. Saying, I have the Guru Maharaj, I have your mercy, the mercy of your guru. Now, normally, that's not really a good idea. That's called our Maryada Vyatikrama, which means not following the etiquette of jumping over the head of your guru. Like Prabhupada one time asked a disciple, who is your favorite author? And the disciple replied, it was Brahmananda who replied. And he says, oh, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Prabhupada said, second favorite. Said, oh, yes, Prabhupada. Because one shouldn't try to step over the head of the spiritual master. That is actually a violation of etiquette, Maryada Vyatikrama. And it's very, very dangerous. You know, for example, that's what the Ritvik philosophy is. The Ritvik philosophy is that one can take initiation from someone who's not on the planet. It's interesting. People say, Prabhupada's still giving initiation. But why, if you can take initiation from someone who is not manifest physically on the planet, why stop with Prabhupada? You know, why not take initiation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Why not just go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and go to a picture, go to a deity, go to Thai deities, put the beads at their feet, take the beads and say, my new name is Chaitanya Charan Das. I am the servant of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And that's jumping over the head, not following the etiquette. Okay, so here's what happens. So, Hriday Chaitanya tries to wipe off the name of Shyamananda on Shyamananda's chest, and it keeps reappearing. Oh my God. So you think, all right, Hriday Chaitanya should be satisfied at this particular point. You know, all right, I understand my disciple got this. It, you know, it's mystical. Sometimes these things happen. But he said, this is unchaste. Why is it unchaste? Because your guru and his guru are coward boys. How can you be a gopi if I'm a coward boy? And so at that point, wow. At that point, Hriday Chaitanya explained to his guru that your guru is serving Radha and Krishna. That all the different personalities and different rasas in the spiritual world are serving Radha and Krishna. You understand? This is actually an important point. Whether you're a blade of grass, like we were mentioning last night, one devotee was asking me last night, how can you want to be a blade of grass in Vrindavan? You know, isn't that just like you just stand there all the time and are unconscious? No. A blade of grass is fully conscious. A blade of grass can talk to the other grasses, or whatever. But the other blades of grass, sorry. You can't say talk to the other grasses. You talk to the other blades of grass about Krishna, and you get the gopis to walk on top of you. I mean, don't you want the dust of the feet of the great devotees like the gopis? I mean, that's pretty ecstatic. So everybody is serving the gopis and Krishna and Radharani, because Radharani is Vrindavaneshwari. She's the queen. Everybody's serving the king and the queen. Krishna's the king, Radharani's the queen. Serve them, whatever you do, you're doing service for the supreme transcendental couple. So he explains this to the guru, and the guru is thinking, disciples preaching to me now? He's unchaste. He's not following my rasa. And that's really not the point, that the disciple and the guru have the same rasa. That the guru will manifest to the disciple in accordance with the disciple's rasa, or relationship with Krishna. So then Hridaya Chaitanya got so upset at this point, you know, I guess he got upset. This is a pastime, don't criticize pure devotees, that he started to beat Shyamananda with a stick. Boom, boom, boom. And Shyamananda was all bloody. Can you imagine? I mean, sometimes I get angry at my disciples, but not to that extent. I just use words. I never use a stick. I don't think I've ever used a stick with any disciple. Anyway, so he was beating Shyamananda with a stick. So that night, Hridaya Chaitanya was resting. And as he was resting, Lord Chaitanya appeared before him. And Lord Chaitanya, is in a dream, of course, was all bloody. And he asked Lord Chaitanya, who's done this to you? And he said, you have beaten my devotee. And Hridaya Chaitanya just begged for forgiveness, and he said, you should beg for forgiveness to your disciple, but you have to accept this punishment. What's the punishment? You have to do 12 festivals. Okay, so he did 12 festivals. That is, the guru did 12 festivals. So that was the whole interaction with Hridaya Chaitanya. So later on, Srila Jiva Goswami compiled and taught the Goswami literatures to Shyamananda and Narottama Das Thakur and Srinivasa Acharya, and he sent them to distribute those literatures, at least some copies of them, to Bengal. And on the way to Bengal, they were waylaid in this town called Vanavishnapura, which was headed up by a dacoit. And this dacoit, this king, Vira, Humbira, it's like my name, actually, Vira. Vira, like my name is Beer. Beer Krishna. So his name was Vira Humbira, means a heroic king. But he was a dacoit, and he understood that these people had something valuable, didn't know it was books. He stole the books that they were bringing on an ox cart, and he opened up the case, and he understood that they were transcendental books. He became enlivened just by seeing the books. Later on, Srinivasa Acharya came during the time of the king's Bhagavatam class, and he revealed that they were his books, and he initiated this King Virahambira in Vanavishnapura, and the king made sure that everybody had to chant their rounds in Vanavishnapura, or else they were kicked out of the kingdom. Everyone had to go to Mangalarti and chant their rounds, and what else? And clean their ashram. No, or else they hit the road In other words, go to a different state. And, you know, there were different states controlled by kings at that particular time. So, and then Hrida Chaitanya and Jiva Goswami earlier had ordered Rasikananda, since he spoke Orion, to go to Orissa to preach Krishna consciousness. So he went to Orissa and he preached Krishna consciousness all over Orissa, and particularly he initiated one devotee named Rasikananda. And Rasikananda and Shyamananda preached Krishna consciousness together all over Orissa and made many, many, many people Krishna conscious. And Shyamananda's samadhi is exactly where the Shirachara Gopinath is, the deity of Shirachara Gopinath in Ramuna. That's where his samadhi is, and Rasikananda's also. So they're very, very, very important personalities, and they carry the Goswami's message to Orissa and carried out the message of Srimati Radharani in Krishna consciousness. So Shyamananda Kijai, Shyamananda Kijai, Kanaka Manjari, his spiritual name, Kijai. So anyway, so that's the information, at least that I'm sure there's more information about Shyamananda, but this is the basic biography about Shyamananda and his guru, Hriday Chaitanya, Hridayananda. So that's perfect timing. So let's take some questions. If someone has some questions they would like to ask, let me, hold on a second, let me unmute everybody. Okay, you can ask questions if you like. Whoops, mute. Okay, who wants to ask a question? No one.
Hare Krishna. Haribo. Amit Karan. Dadavat Maharaj, actually, I am doing some course, so I could not come regularly. It's Jiva Dharma.
So, oh, Jiva Dharma, so, very nice.
Yeah, I am sorry for that. And actually, in some books, I got that Radharani actually, he did not give the nupur to Radharani, Lalita. Then Radharani personally came and put the tilak on his forehead.
There's different versions of the story. Like I said, this is something called hagiography. Hagiography basically means the biography of saints, which is actually sometimes they add certain things that are not exact. Like in the Bhakti Ratnakara, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says the Bhakti Ratnakara is not very accurate historically, but it is actually, according to Ras, Tattva, and Bhav, it is accurate, but not according to some of the details. So whenever I'm giving one of these biographical sketches, it should be understood that in certain details may not be completely, may be different in different versions.
So, Guru Maharaj, is like, is from Bhagavad Parampara or like is a Siksha Guru Parampara or Bhagavad Parampara?
There's different versions of the same story. Like if you read the Prema Vilas or the Bhakti Ratnakara, you'll find slightly different versions of different stories, especially about Shyamananda, Dharatama Das Thakur, and Srinivasacharya. It's something that's like, especially Bhakti Ratnakara, by Narahari Chakravarti, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said the details are not, in many cases, are not so accurate. But we hear these stories for the Bhav and for the Tattva, Bhav and Tattva and Ras. But, you know, you're going to find some details. Like one story was that Radharani gave him the tilak, and another version of the story is that Lalita gave him the tilak. But the main point is he got the tilak from Radharani and or Lalita. and he was initiated in the spiritual path.
My another question is that Guru Maharaj, that he is coming, they are coming from through Bhagavad Parampara or Shiksha Guru Parampara, like Parampara, which are
you mean as far as Shyamananda and they're Bhagavad Parampara, as far as Shyamananda is with Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami and Shyamananda. That's Bhagavat. That's Shiksha.
Shiksha. My God. Shiksha. Thank you.
Yeah, Shiksha. Shiksha, but also, you know, there's Diksha Parampara. Like in many of these personalities, there's a Diksha Parampara as well, and the Shiksha Parampara is different. It's not opposed to it, it's just different. Like with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his Siksha Parampara was coming from Janavamata through Vipini Bihari Goswami. You know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Yeah.
Where his Dikshas Parampara, and his Siksha is coming from Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj.
Jagannath Das Babaji.
You know, so Bhakti, Srila Bhakti, I'm sorry, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur emphasized more than anything else the Siksha Parampara, the Bhagavat Parampara. Now, that was his emphasis. So that really fits in with ISKCON to a great extent. That in ISKCON, you know, our Parampara or our Acharya is Prabhupada. And we may be initiated by different personalities, but really, everyone in ISKCON has a direct connection with His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada is manifesting Himself through His literature, through His instructions, through His example. I mean, He's the most prominent, He should be, for every devotee of the movement, He should be the most prominent source of inspiration, Siksha. I mean, you can't enforce that. But at the same time, the unifying factor of our movement is not going to be the Diksha Gurus. In the case of our movement, it's not going to be the Diksha Gurus. It's going to be the Srila Prabhupada. This is something I would say not completely unique, because in the Sri Sampradaya, following Ramanujacharya, he is considered the prominent person, the prominent link. But still, people have gurus, yes. People have gurus, they're initiated by gurus, they respect their initiating gurus, they follow them, they get trained up by their initiating gurus. But the position of Sripad Ramanujacharya is extremely unique and special. And that's what keeps the Sri Sampradaya together. Of course, the Sri Sampradaya have broken up into different branches too. I have to be honest about that, but not a lot of different branches. I mean, there's basically two different branches of the Sri Sampradaya right now. There's two more main branches, but basically they have remained unified because of the emphasis on Sripad Ramanujacharya, rather than the emphasis upon the initiating guru. So this is the mood that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to have. If we don't remain unified on Prabhupada's mission, instructions, and don't have a relationship with Prabhupada, we fall apart and we cannot affect the desire of Srila Prabhupada, which is to change this world. So that's why. We're not trying to de-emphasize one's guru. That's not the point. We don't put down the gurus, but we emphasize Prabhupada. By emphasizing Prabhupada, we have a mission. I mean, the mission stays together. And we find in ISKCON, sometimes the gurus who did not emphasize Prabhupada, when they leave the planet, their disciples just go all over the place. Now the wonderful mission of Srila Bhakti Chuhu Maharaj was that he always emphasized staying in ISKCON and serving Prabhupada. So his disciples are extremely loyal to Prabhupada's mission. So that's a success. Like if a guru leaves the planet and the disciples leave Prabhupada's mission, then the guru's mission is a failure. It's a failure. Because, you know, my mission or anyone else's mission other than Prabhupada's mission is not going to remain. It's not going to remain unless we remain centered on Prabhupada and ISKCON for all of its faults. I mean, ISKCON's not perfect. But unless we remain centered on ISKCON, then whatever we've accomplished in our lifetime will be lost after that. As we've seen, I'm not going to mention any names, but I've seen.
You are also our example, very exemplary for us. You are very loyal to Prabhupada and also always giving emphasis to project our now vision, everything to the Siksha of Prabhupada. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, the Siksha of Prabhupada should be the most prominent factor in our lives. And that. Otherwise, you know, like if I think about, you know, my disciples, you know, one day I will leave my body and go to Yamaraj. And so when I go to Yamaraj,
you know, spiritual Golok Vrindavan. No, you are always
Yamaraj. Golok Vrindavan. Anyway, so I'll go to Yamaraj and it'll be like the worst toothache I've ever had in my life to be with Yamaraj. So there won't be any relief for it either. That's the way I look at Yamaloka. So anyway, so but then what will happen to whatever I did during this lifetime? It'll ultimately fall apart unless there's Prabhupada. You know, because in 100 years from now, who's going to remember my name? Who's going to remember in 200 years from now? Who's going to, you know, we can think, oh, our guru's going to be famous, you know, for the next 400, 500 years. It's not true. Prabhupada will be famous. You know, we all love our gurus and, you know, we think so many. You know, they're wonderful, great devotees, except for me. But Prabhupada will be actually the famous one. And that's going to keep our movement together. And yes, our connection with the guru is eternal. That's true. We're not denying that. But the guru's mission, or Prabhupada's mission is the Guru's mission, and the Guru's mission is Prabhupada's mission. Is that all right?
Yes, Guru Maharaj. And only through Gurus we can connect with Prabhupada. Like,
yeah, and then we're yes. All one family. It's not that,
yeah.
You know, I got my Guru with a different opinion. You know, my Guru thinks that, you know, I mean, just anyway, I won't get into ISKCON politics. I have to be careful.
You explain wonderfully.
You got some people who disagree with the way Prabhupada did things. And that's ISKCON politics. We don't want to get into it.
Yeah, we don't want to involve with politics.
No politics.
Politics.
No politics. Okay, so let someone ask a question. Anyone else have their hands raised? We saw Jai Radhika is unmuted. Does that mean she wants to talk? No? Anybody else have a question before we end? No, everybody's so quiet. Jai Radhika, you have something you want to say? You're unmuted for some reason.
Oh, sorry, Guru Maharaj, no, I don't.
Okay, so I think that this is the most important point, that we remain faithful to Prabhupada. I'm muting you right now. So we remain faithful to Prabhupada, and this is keeps us together. Otherwise, what happens with our mission? Finished. There's nothing left in our mission, unless it's actually part of Prabhupada's mission. All right, on that happy note, I just want to make one announcement before we end. Again, I'm going to announce that for 2 weeks, approximately 2 weeks, let's say today is the 25th of June, here, it's the 26th in Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, for approximately 2 weeks until until the first possible day after this for the class. It will be the 11th of July or the 12th, depending on where you are in the world. 11th of July, incidentally, is Rathyatra Day in the calendar. That's the day, well, I'm arriving back on the 10th in the evening, and the 11th we can have our first class, this class. At the same time, we will be having classes hopefully almost every day, and I'll be notifying people online through the WhatsApp group so you can all participate, or you can watch it later on YouTube or Facebook or however you like to watch classes. But this is the last class for about a little over 2 weeks, actually, it's a little over 2 weeks. So I'm sorry for this. I've been doing these evening classes for over a year, every day without fail. Without fail, come rain or shine, or pain or pleasure, or happiness or distress, through summer and winter seasons, through, you know, whatever. So we've been doing it for over a year now. It's real regular. Every single day. We haven't missed one day. Even though I've been driving a car sometimes and other things like that. So I'm just showing you an example of steadiness, how we all have to be steady in our service. And so I apologize, but in 2 weeks we will continue the Chaitanya Charitamrita classes where we left off. And let's see if there's anything else I wanted to add. Anyway, we're going to Slovenia for like a retreat. We will probably be doing some activities in empathic communication. And then we're going to Germany to visit with some devotee friends after that, and then coming back here. So this is a time for travel. A lot of the world is opening up, except Australia, New Zealand, Fiji. Who knows when Australia, New Zealand, Fiji is going to open up. Get your vaccinations. Don't be an anti-vaxxer because, you know, it's dangerous. You're speaking to someone today who got COVID and he's still suffering months after months after months, so many months after having COVID, he can hardly breathe. So this is not a joke. It's not a joke. I mean, I humbly suggest that people get vaccinated against this disease because it is a dangerous world, and I don't want to see anyone die or lose the function of their bodies. So, on that happy note, I think that's it. We'll see everybody in the next few days if you just sign on to my WhatsApp group. That's all. We'll see everybody in the next few days and or in 2 weeks from now. Or whenever. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Hari Bol.